Yes, welcome back to the show. Pretty soon we're going to do our greatest film soundtracks of all time, excluding music biopics. We'd love your feedback on this. Off the back of this break, Movie of the Week. And today it's an iconic film. It's the first film of the biggest movie franchise of the 80s alongside Ghostbusters and Star Wars. I talk about Beverly Hills Cop. Oh, yeah. It's like I'm back in Fanny's nightclub. Okay, now, welcome Liam Alexander.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Liam, we are top of the pops. Mate, this film, Liam, it was a complete monster of a movie in the 80s. Watching it now, do you understand why?
Yeah, I can see why it was so huge. I've never seen it before, which prompted a lot of people through the week to ask me what rock I've been living under, but it's one of those movies where I can't see anyone not enjoying it. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie that relies and is sort of enhanced so much by a lead actor. I don't think this movie works if Murphy isn't playing Axel Foley.
Now, Liam, for people who haven't seen it, people who have indeed been living under a rock, not as in Dwayne Johnson, but what's the plot of the film?
Yeah, so the movie's about a Detroit cop called Axel Foley who, after the murder of his best friend, Mikey Tandino, he travels to California to investigate and track down the killer, a man called Victor Maitland, who he believes operates a boutique art dealership as a cover for importing drugs into Beverly Hills. And when he gets there, he teams up with two sort of reluctant by-the-book detectives from the Beverly Hills PD to basically try bring him down and avenge Mikey's murder.
So who's the good guy and who's the bad guy? No, sorry.
I don't know.
Okay. Liam, Ben, as you were right over this, any trivia, Liam, in the making of this film?
Well, it's interesting because I know Benny will probably talk about this as well, but the movie was originally written for Sylvester Stallone to play the lead role.
Wow.
And he pulled out 2 weeks before they were meant to start shooting. Apparently, Stephen Burkoff, who played Victor Maitland, said it was because of disagreements about the orange juice for his trailer. I've heard that Stallone wanted it to be like a straight-up action film. He didn't want to do a comedy. He said, this is a quote, his script for Beverly Hills Cop would have, quote, looked like the opening scene from Saving Private Ryan on the beaches of Normandy. So, completely different movie.
Wow.
And I think Cobra, which we've done, was probably the
one of the greats.
That's what it would have turned into.
Not Copland.
Yeah. Oh, geez, that's a stinker.
Yeah, Copland. Geez, he slapped on. Ben, any other things interesting about
mate, I've got also Sylvester Stallone was signed on to play Axel Foley, but Mickey Rourke was also initially paid.
I love Mickey Rourke
to play Axel Foley as
well. Pre-facelift.
Yeah, pre-facelift.
Mate, have you seen him lately? Holy dude.
What's doing?
Look, he looks like he's been
There was a guy.
Better not say that, right?
There's a guy who played for the Melbourne Storm, had only a few games, played for Huddersfield, rugby league player.
Keith Mason.
Keith Mason.
Where have I pulled that from?
Keith Mason befriended Mickey Rourke at a nightclub, and basically Keith Mason has wrangled him in to make a trailer for this movie. Yeah, called Rugby Blood.
No, they hung out and got on the piss. He didn't turn up to play, Keith Mason, for the team. Just hung out with Mickey Rourke.
Now, Liam.
That is some
rugby
excuse.
Rugby league.
Oh, man. Rugby league. Thank you. How was the movie received, Liam?
Well, in terms of box office, you guys know it was a huge hit when it came out. Stayed at number one for 13 consecutive weeks. And it was the first movie in the US ever to be released on 2,000 screens. So it made about $235 million at the time, which in today's, like, if you adjust it for inflation, it's the third highest grossing R-rated film of all time behind The Exorcist and The Godfather. And critically as well, which I didn't know, it was acclaimed as well. Murphy was nominated for a Golden Globe. The script was nominated for an Oscar for Best Screenplay. So it was pretty universally acclaimed.
Where's Eddie Murphy got to?
He's
starting to come back because he started making these cheesy, awful movies after Boomerang because he wanted his kids to be proud of him.
I love the skit with Dave Chappelle and talking about Eddie Murphy and Charlie Murphy.
Oh, Charlie Murphy. Oh, well, when I watched this, I couldn't stop thinking about Charlie Murphy and Dave Chappelle.
So good. Hey, Liam, just before you said it was rated R. Now, I think in Australia it was rated M. So the laws are a lot tighter as far as classification in America. Is that right?
Yeah, 100%. So sometimes a movie, they have different ratings to us. They have PG, PG-13, and then R. And I think our classifications are very different because like an R-rated movie over there with swearing will get an M here. I think we're a lot more lenient in terms of how much swearing can be in an M-rated movie. But I think when it starts to get a bit violent and nudity, then we go MA, I think.
What's Shrek rated in America?
Rated R.
That was Shrek,
that Lion King.
Yeah, I thought so.
I thought this movie has aged really poorly.
Really?
I loved it at the time, but I got halfway through it this week and went, this is so, the acting, apart from, if it's not for Eddie Murphy, who was just naturally funny, and we asked to laugh, I thought it was shit ass.
What about the guy from Seinfeld who was the close talker?
The close talker! That's the close talker!
Yeah, the close talker who looks like Warren Smith.
But how bad are those actors?
And I just like Balky from Perfect Strangers.
That's right. So really, was that, so, but that, did the screenplay get nominated for a Golden Globe?
Which is strange because
an Academy Award.
Wow.
Because wasn't it a diabolical screenplay?
That must have been a bad year.
I think it was well, talking of 1984, this was number one at the box office. There was also Ghostbusters and Karate Kid that year. Wow. Talk about three massive pop culture iconic films.
Can I also ask this? You know you remember the arcade game Moon Buggy?
Yes.
Is that the same music?
I think it is Herbie Hancock who did Axel F. And I think it was Herbie Hancock.
Well, ask Liam here, right? Because Liam, when he first saw this movie this week, thought it was the... What song did you think it was, Liam?
The Crazy Frog song. I had no idea this is where it came from.
Yeah, right. Alex is nodding his head as well. Alex, feel free to talk, mate. You know, you're part of this show, mate. Be part of the family. So you thought the same thing?
Well, I'll try and get it up. Because it is the same thing. So Crazy Frog's taken off it and remixed it.
Really?
So it's exactly the same. I'm the same as Liam.
But that song, obviously, is Faltermeyer, the composer who wrote that. He also did the Top Gun theme.
Yeah, did he? Yeah. Do you know when I worked with Mark Geyer, Liam's uncle, of course? We were once talking about our favourite song, and at the time, MG said Crazy Frog, which I thought was... MG's got strange tastes in music. We got it there, Alex? Yeah, let's have a listen.
Of course!
There you go.
It's Moon Buggy! Moon Buggy?
Yeah,
that's a great gun.
Very good.
Now, I've got a personal story. About this.
I've got a personal story.
So when
is this about shaking hands
when
with
I was, it would have been around the year 2000. No, year 2000. I was traveling through backpacking through Europe with my brother.
Oh yeah.
And we went to the Pantheon in Rome.
Oh God, you're cultured.
And I'm very cultured. Walked in and we're doing the tourist lap around the Pantheon, and we sidled up to Victor Maitland.
Did you
Steve
really?
Burkoff, the actor. And we noticed him because as growing up in the 80s, we were big Rambo 2
Of course you were.
And he's the evil Russian in that. So he went up and said, and just went, Rambo 2? And he sort of looked at us in his very English accent and said, yeah. So we met Victor Maitland in the Pantheon in Rome.
Wow.
There you go.
I'm sure Eddie Murphy went missing. You could stop by the police doing something.
Really?
Something
out.
In the car.
Speeding?
No, it wasn't that.
Okay.
Apparently, Eddie Murphy like him, but he's not much of a partier like Charlie Murphy was.
Talking about meeting famous people, and Liam will back this up, a friend of ours, Johnny Valentino, went back to Italy to visit his wife's family, hopped on a bus going down south, and sitting next to him in the bus was Matt Dillon. You heard that story, Liam?
Yeah, I think he told me it once.
Yeah, he said beating Johnny, he just chewed his ear off. Now, everything about this film was huge, including the soundtrack. Axel F, New Attitude, Pointer Sisters' Neutron Dance, which was used in State of Origin, the promo in 84.
Was it?
And the sequel was even bigger. Like, I Want Your Sex, George Michael. Ooh. That was used in the sequel. Oh. And the other one.
Oh, God. What the
shit? take a number, Matthew.
And the other one was Bob Seger's Shakedown.
Which originally was Glenn Frey?
Glenn Frey did The Heat Is On.
Yep.
And they asked him to do it for the sequel. So he wrote Shakedown.
The Heat Is On. Is that written about Freddy's Llamas?
That's right. That's right. It was. That's pretty good. But Glenn Frey wrote it, and on the way to recording it, had laryngitis. So Rob rung Bob Seger and said, "Mate, could you do this song?
Bob,
a number one hit."
The hell do you guys get this trivia? This is very.
Mate, we're walking encyclopedias of knowledge.
Now, Liam, this movie in 2003 was named in the top 1,000 greatest films ever made.
Oh.
Is right.
Oh God.
Yeah. So
where did it come in?
It came in.
999.
Yeah, yes, it did. Okay.
Well, according to Webby, it would have.
Liam, was this Eddie Murphy's apex in his career, do you think?
Oh, I was talking to Benny. I have a very big hole in. I haven't seen too many Eddie Murphy. I prefer Coming to America.
Yep.
I think that was sort of the peak of his powers, but this definitely made him a star for sure.
I reckon Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Do you?
Yeah.
You thought it was one of those rare films that's better than the original?
Well, no, I don't, but I think at that time of his career, he was just flying.
Coming to America 2.
Oh, my God, isn't that
a stinker.
Bludger.
I tell you what.
Trading Places was
pretty. Oh,
Nutty Professor was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. Daddy Daycare.
Yeah.
Turd.
You'd have to say Beverly Hills Cop 3 and Coming to America 2.
Just stinkers.
Worst movies.
When you start to get to 3, that's when you're going, righto, we're just bleeding the people now for that.
Yeah, they just want cash.
Liam, your score out of 100?
I agree with Webby to an extent that I think it's very of the time. So yes. I'm gonna go 75 out of 100.
Webby, I'm gonna go to you here.
30.
Oh, wow.
Cop that, Eddie.
Daily Mail.
Your brother was more funnier.
You'll see that later on today on Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Webster slams Eddie Murphy.
I'm more worried about killing off Bennett.
purely for the Easter egg of seeing Damon Wayans, a young Damon Wayans, selling Eddie Murphy bananas to put in a tailpipe, I'm gonna give it 90.
Right up. What we're going to do, guys, we're going to take a break. After the break, the greatest film soundtracks excluding music biopics. So hang around.